From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Thursday morning edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio. Today on the show, a couple of guests. We're going to give you an interview Neil taped yesterday with Jack Bicknell Jr., the new offensive line coach for Ole Miss. As Matt Luke made that official last Friday, so he was at Media Day yesterday. Neil got a little bit of time with him. Also today on the show, Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com. He is kind of in that realm with Mike Dettillier, Neil, from knowing a ton of football. We're going to give you the Ole Miss portion of a much longer interview today on the show. So if you like what you hear and you want to check out more, the full interview will be on a beer garden that will be loaded later today as well, the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. You can access that. There'll be a pin post on the site, also through iTunes. Just search Oxford Crystal, search Beer Garden. It'll pop up either one of those ways. Subscribe if you are so inclined. We would appreciate it. So
we talk Ole Miss, then we talk a lot of NFL. And then it's been a hot topic lately, the concussions, the future of the game, all that. You won't find a more pro football guy in the world than Chris Landry. He's great at it, knows everyone in the sport, literally, on a personal level. And he gives a very insightful, complex, thoughtful answer about what football needs to do. It's very good. For those of you who are advocates of football, you will like it. For those of you who are concerned about the future of football, he will not alleviate those concerns. It is a complicated issue. And he agrees with a lot of people, and I tend to agree with smart people. I listen to them. Analytics will show you that football has about 25 years to figure this out. And there are smart minds trying to figure it out. And it does indeed come down to finding a way to change the way the game is coached at the youth league level. When the people poo-poo the youth league stuff, you're idiots. You're too emotional. It's the way the game is taught at an early age. He talks about how statistics show that kids are quitting football at the age of like 11 or 12. It's his opinion, Archie Manning's opinion, a lot of other people's opinion. They shouldn't even be playing tackle football until about that age. But a lot of kids are playing tackle football too early. Their bones aren't developed. There's too much discrepancy in size. And kids are getting hurt, and moms are pulling kids out, and they're never going back. Now, are those kids future NFL players? No, but if you can't understand the correlation between involvement at the middle school and high school level and the money that therefore goes into those programs to enrich them and how that changes the way the game is played and the athlete that gets to the college level, I can't help you.
So that and more, Chris Landry later on the beer garden. Again, you with the Ole Miss stuff here in a few minutes. So Bicknell Landry on today's show, brought to you by the Oxford Exxon. We've had nice, really interaction with people who tried the daiquiris, Neil, at the Oxford Exxon, now doing hurricane, strawberry, grape, margarita, watermelon, peach.
I love hurricanes, man.
Sure thing.
I love them.
The strawberry and the watermelon, top notch. You can tell you have some alcohol in them. Good price too. You can get 20 ounce for a little over $3, I think, for the daiquiri. So those are coming there. If you're not in Oxford, I know we have people obviously all around the state and the country. Daiquiris are currently in Oxford, Hazelhurst, Byram, and Gluckstadt. Coming next week to Tupelo, Macomb, and Natchez. So that's your recap there for the daiquiris. So check one out. I've had again good reviews. You can definitely tell there's a little bit of a little bit of a concoction in those things. So
sure.
That and more with the Oxford Exxon. Oxford Crystal's got the hand spun shakes if you just like something sweet. Maybe you and the wife, one of you wants the daiquiri, one of you wants the shakes. You can get that done all at the same time there on Highway 6 West. And again, coming to you from the Clarkport studio.
Is it bad that it's 8:16 in the morning and right now a daiquiri sounds good? Is it?
You're good with it right now?
Is that an indication of the day that's coming for me or just sort of general mood? Or?
Well, no, because daiquiris just don't have as good of a PR person as, like, a mimosa, a screwdriver is fine in the morning. Well, orange juice
good
and vodka.
Yeah,
I mean, it's the same crap. It's just different.
They have an orange daiquiri?
No.
Not yet?
No.
Hey, Ben, if you're listening, orange daiquiris are sneaky good.
I never had an orange daiquiri.
I had one at, where was I? I was at the beach at some point. It's been years.
You picked an orange daiquiri off the menu?
I did. It looked, I saw someone float by with an orange daiquiri, and I thought to myself, that looks kind of
looked a lot like the strawberry daiquiri. It was just orange instead of
I
red
just
or pink.
Thought, that looks kind of interesting. It was hot, and so I floated up to the little bar thing. And ordered an orange daiquiri and was quite pleased.
Did you have a second?
Probably.
Okay.
It was one of those days where I woke up, started drinking, and
continued until you went to sleep.
I think so. Okay. Just kind of changed libations as the day went along.
There's a progression to how that works.
Yes. You know, you start with the daiquiri. Maybe you switch to a couple of beers. Maybe you go back to like a margarita or a daiquiri. I'm just, this is all hypothetical.
Right.
Then you switch to
wine at night, maybe.
You switch to a cocktail of sorts, maybe a bourbon or a vodka or something, and then you hit the red wine.
Don't do it in reverse. Don't start your morning with the wine and the bourbon.
If you started your morning with bourbon or wine, the day's just destined for hell. You know what I mean? I mean, that day's not going to end.
7:30 in the morning, you get out of bed, you float up to the bar and go, hey, Maker's on the rocks.
Yeah. There's a decent chance you're not seeing two in the afternoon.
Yeah.
It's going to be a hell of a morning, but you're not going to make any friends.
No.
That's just my opinion.
That's true.
Clark Ford, you said?
I did.
We're coming to you from the Clark Ford Studios. Clark Ford is in Amory, 662-257-1900 is the number. You can call our friend Corey. You ask Corey for a quote on the new Ford of your choice. He'll send it to you within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. There's no haggling. Just great deals right to the bottom line at Clark Ford in Amory. And then once you get your quote, it's up to you. At that point, really, the ball is in your court. You can waste your time shopping the quote. You can call car dealers everywhere. It's a free country. Go for it. Or you can do the smart thing, which is let Corey and the people at Clark Ford take the hassle out of the car buying experience for you like they've done for so many other podcast listeners. Get your new Ford. Go get a fresh daiquiri. Don't drive and get the daiquiri and stuff, but get a daiquiri, chill out, enjoy the rest of your day with your brand new Clark Ford from Clark Ford in Amory, 662-257-1900. Oh, and don't forget, you can save $500 worth of daiquiris by telling him you heard about the dealership on the podcast.
Essentially, by doing that, you get 150 daiquiris.
I mean, when you think about it that
20
way.
20 ounces, a little over $3.
You go to Clark Ford, you get a new Ford and 150 daiquiris.
It's really how you should do commercials.
That's a hell of a deal. Corey, if you need some help with marketing, buddy, we're here for you.
Yeah.
We love you.
All right, Ole Miss had media day yesterday. Matt Luke spoke. Players and coaches available afterward. The news out of the day following the arrest two nights ago, Kendarius Webster and Dietrich Bing Dukes have been suspended for the first game of the 2017 season, so against South Alabama. And Octavius Cooley, who is running third team on the depth chart, probably a reason for that now. He is not on the 105. Matt Luke said that he would probably be back at some point. However, he will start the season suspended due to a violation of team rules or whatever the catchphrase is for that. Mathis beat up, so a little thin at tight end right now. But anyway, Cooley back at some point, suspended currently from the roster. But with Webster and Bing Dukes, we've talked about this kind of off the air. We might have mentioned this yesterday too. It probably got as real as it can for Matt Luke as a head coach when he got the call the other night. you're the guy. You get the arrest call. You get to make the decisions. You get to call the parents and say, hey, your kid was an idiot tonight. What are we going to do about it? What are we doing? Because that's the thing with shoplifting is, look, it's a misdemeanor.
That's the thing with shoplifting.
Well, no, seriously. Okay. You know, it's a misdemeanor. There's no weapons involved. There's no lives at danger. Right. It's not even a DUI where you fall asleep in a car.
No one was harmed.
Yeah, it's from a physical standpoint, it's a victimless crime. No, it's not a victimless crime, but physically it is. It's just really stupid.
It is that for sure.
It's mostly just really stupid.
No argument.
I mean, if the items stolen were exactly what I heard, it gets even dumber. So
candles?
Well, I heard Powerade at one point.
I heard Powerade.
There is a Manning Center that has it like waterfalls flowing everywhere.
They could probably have walked into the, and I could be wrong, but I'm guessing.
If it wasn't Powerade, I apologize. But I'm just.
But if it's Powerade, and we both heard the same thing, they could walk into the Manning Center and probably
load
quote,
a pallet.
Steal a pallet, end quote, of Powerade. And I don't know that anybody would say anything other than, hey, you guys need some help? Because they leave with drinks and stuff practices all the time anyway.
There's no telling how much hydration is in the Manning Center. So,
I mean, the word hydration is probably, seriously, if of the 10 words used in the month of August in the Manning Center, I bet it's one of the top 10.
If there were one of those word chart things that had the words bigger, whatever, hydration would be up there.
Well, you know it's talked about all the time. Before practice,
drink,
after
drink,
practice, hey,
drink.
Guys, hydrate.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, you got to make sure you're getting your hydration.
Yeah.
Guys, are you drinking enough? I mean,
we're going to weigh you before. We're going to weigh you after. What are we doing here?
Yeah. Hey, you got to make sure you hydrate. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, that would be constant. So if they were to say, hey, listen, we're kind of in the mood for some Powerade. Can we grab some?
I mean, the talk yesterday was $158 in cleaning supplies of some sort. Whatever. But nonetheless, back to the point.
Yeah. No, it's welcome to being a head coach.
Yeah, it's welcome to being a head coach. And it would have been really easy to kind of sidestep the one. I do think it was important for Matt to put down a firm decision that got some attention before you got into camp.
Yeah. He's done really well so far.
That's the thing about this. Look, has he had any major decisions to make? No. He's going to coach, and he's going to be not on his record, but he's going to be judged on the preparation and the overall ability of his program over the next months. But the stuff he's had to do so far, it's an A+. Big Nell Jr., considering the dynamics and the time frame, was a very good hire. About as well as you could do. You went away from doing stuff that maybe some other people wanted you to do. You made probably the best hire that you had available. Press conference. It wasn't a big deal. It's just something you kind of do. Did well. Was himself. Was at ease for the most part. So now with a discipline thing, I think for the most part, Matt's done a really nice job of kind of settling into the role that he has to perform over the next 12 games and practices and everything else. But from an Ole Miss standpoint, it's another blow. I mean, the back seven has been the concern, and now Bing Dukes, Webster, at least for the first game, out of that rotation.
Yeah, I say this from a pure football standpoint.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm cheering for Ken Webster, but I have a difficult time believing that Ken Webster was going to be ready first week of September to really contribute.
He's been released. I asked Jason Jones yesterday. I said, I understand he's healthy in the form of he's released.
Yes.
What's his quick twitch? What's he look like? And essentially, he not in a rude way. Now, obviously, he's just following rules. He kind of deferred the question because Paul Jackson has been the person with him all summer, but said he's heard that I'd have to look up the quote. And I hate to kind of get it wrong, but paraphrasing, he heard that he was at a point to contribute, put it that way, was the way he put it. Didn't necessarily say he was the old Ken Webster, but was at a point to contribute.
I mean, let me make that clear. I'm for him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that was a devastating injury. We were looking at it when it happened, and it was grotesque. It is a testament to his work ethic, probably his genes, to medical people, to his doctors, to Paul, to a lot of people, that he's back in a position to be able to contribute. I'm a cynic. I know what I saw last Labor Day. Mm-hmm. I was looking at it. When he went down on it, he ain't playing again this year. And when I heard how bad it was, I thought, he's not playing again ever, frankly. And so I just, from a football standpoint, I don't think he was going to be a big-time contributor early in the season. I still don't. Bing Dukes, look, he's one of their only experienced linebackers. This linebacker thing's a problem. It was a problem last year. It's a problem this year. It's DeMarcus Gates and a bunch of dudes. This was in Brendan Williams?
Yeah.
I mean, Brendan Williams not played a lot of linebacker in his life.
Year or two.
I mean, how long ago was it? Seriously, I mean, the kid was shot.
I mean, linebackers on the roster. Okay. Okay, scholarship linebackers on the roster.
Yeah.
Josh Clark, freshman. Who knows? Taylor Pope, great kid, limited. Zakarian Baker, freshman.
Yeah, come on. Yeah. The people that are doing that, you are cheering for laundry at this point.
Dante Evans, redshirted last year, couldn't help last year, had to get faster. We'll see.
Yeah, the hopes were high, but last year was a disappointment.
DeMarcus Gates, okay. Proven commodity, but got to get more consistent. Didn't have a stellar year after really expected to pop last year. Jerrion Streets over there at linebacker. We'll see. Brendan Williams, as you mentioned, the signee from Northeast. Willie Hibbler, he's been banged up. Bing Dukes out for the first game, but on the roster. And Muhammad Sanogo, that's it. Those are your scholarship linemen.
Yeah, so they needed Bing Dukes to play. They need him to grow up, frankly. Is that fair?
Well, and a guy that had already had a strike against him, had already been out of a program. Not saying it was discipline related, but still, it just
Mark Richt let him walk.
Yeah. So, props to Matt Luke. That's where that situation was from a news standpoint. He reiterated a lot of things he'd already said in his introductory press conference. The structure of the program, practices mostly the same. Longo's going to run the offense. McGriff's going to run the defense, and Matt's going to float around. Anything else from that portion?
No, that's about it.
That about it?
I mean, we just heard from Matt days earlier at his introductory press conference when people started asking a bunch of football questions.
Yeah, it was a lot of repeats.
I mean, it was on repeat. There were some questions asked about his mindset that I liked his answers. Who you've talked to?
Leaning on his old tree, Cutcliffe, former.
There was one name that didn't get mentioned. Interesting.
No.
Said he talked to Mike McIntyre.
Yeah, that was the other one.
Philip Fulmer.
David Cutcliffe. Yeah.
You'll hear the interview.
Didn't mention Eddie O.
Didn't mention Orgeron. Didn't. Didn't mention Hugh Freeze.
Uh-huh.
Let's get here real quick.
Okay.
Because sometimes I have really strong opinions and I'm wrong. I'm often right.
Where are you going?
I was wrong on something about the phones and it looks like something's hiding. And
oh, okay. Go ahead.
I was wrong. See, I can say it.
Okay.
The way that the phone situation is at Ole Miss with the Athletics Foundation is the way that it's been for 10 years.
Okay.
Personal phones. I mean, phones are through the
foundation.
Through the foundation, you're instructed not to use your work phone for personal use. Now, obviously, everyone does because that happens, but you're not supposed to. That includes not just football coaches here.
Anyone at Ole Miss.
Bill Bryant.
Yeah. Our government. Gotcha.
A state employee.
Gotcha.
You're not supposed to use your phone. You're supposed to have your own phone that you pick up to call to order Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
And no, I did not mean that way. I'm sorry. To order food. Sorry. And you have your phone that you use for work calls.
I got something in a minute. I'll help you out with that. Go ahead.
Okay. So, all right, let's get the laughing over with as we move on. So, that's the way it's been done. This really, the attorney in Little Rock, whose name escapes me right now.
Tom Marsh.
Tom Marsh, who's very, very good at what he does. He's got this wrong. He's getting some publicity out of it, but he's got it wrong. At the end of the day, if Hugh Freeze redacts that call, I don't know that we're here right now talking about this. So Ole Miss is in the process right now of responding to those requests. They're not going to charge $25,000. The point was, it's going to cost about $25,000 to go through all of those calls and redact. Hugh Freeze's calls, his representation, or him personally, he will have an opportunity to go in and redact any personal calls. So the pattern that Ole Miss discovered and confronted Hugh Freeze with, and that he admitted to, according to sources, is not going to be in the in these call logs that are given to Mars, because unless he chooses not to redact them, which who knows
at this point.
At this point, who the hell knows what's coming? But Ole Miss is not attempting to cover anything up. If I insinuated that yesterday, and I think I probably did, I apologize. I was wrong. I stand corrected.
Okay.
So when I said it looks like they're trying to hide something, I was wrong. They're not trying to hide anything. In fact, I think they're attempting to be transparent.
It's also their
way.
You
ever get nervous when your phone blows up during the podcast?
I'm getting the same thing, so we're fine.
Okay.
The other thing with it is everybody has been putting out the last week or so that Mississippi report on the expectation of privacy. What you're talking about plays a role in that. By it being a foundation phone, it is not paid for by the state of Mississippi. Hence, there is an expectation of privacy that wouldn't be seen had you used the government phone for personal reasons, Neil. That's the kind of the whole kick in this.
Gotcha.
So, anyway, is that right?
I think so.
All right. Fair enough. We'll go to Chris Landry in a second here on the podcast before we do that. I've been telling you about Right Way Meds for a long time, their parent company, Tyson Drugs. You can check it out at TysonDrugs.com, and or Tyson Drugs, not Tyson, T-Y-S-O-N, TysonDrugs.com. Fill out a form here as well as call the number. It is 662-252-2321. But what I'm telling you about, you're tired of paying $50 or $60 for that little blue pill, and when you find out, you have to wait 3 hours before it takes effect. They've got a solution. Call the home with a 15-minute, what, Neil?
Nothing.
Call the home with a 15-minute quickie, Tyson Drugs, owned and operated in Holly Springs, developed a tablet with the active ingredient that's in that little blue pill that dissolves under the tongue and starts working in as little as 15 minutes with the same length of effectiveness as the other guys. It's a 60-milligram tablet. It can be broken into smaller pieces to get as little as 15 milligrams per dose. It's only $10. They've saved Mississippi men thousands of dollars and made women happy for a long time now. Call and give doctor information. What? And they'll call to get. They'll call.
I'm 13. I'm sorry.
They'll call the doctor to get the prescription in the works. They'll even deliver it to you, or if you're local, you can go by. So again, that's 662-252-2321 or TysonDrugs.com. It's really hard to do that with Neil laughing at me hysterically in the background.
Add one Anthony Chase Parham to the list of people who hate me right now. And I don't blame you. The podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. He's an Oxford-based – I'm a juvenile. I'm sorry. He's an Oxford-based Remax Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better than Harry does. Go to his site. It's harryalexander.com. Send him an email. It's ha@harryalexander.com. He will take care of the rest. The podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles just off Interstate 55 in Grenada. Great lease deals as well. Gene and Sandy are terrific people. They will take great care of you. It'll be a car buying experience that you will enjoy. You can take my word for it. I've done it. The podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you're a small business owner, you, You know that Visa's rules recently changed, allowing owners to pass credit card processing costs onto their customer as a line item along with sales tax. Journey Business Solutions has a fully integrated solution to make that simple. For business owners, you just swipe the card like you do today. You pay zero for credit card processing. Journey Business Solutions also has the latest and greatest technology with Apple Pay, EMV chip processing, next day funding, and more. If you're ready for something more than the terminal, Ben Brown and his team has a tablet point of sale system that does inventory, marketing, loyalty rewards, employee scheduling, time cards, and more. It makes your life easier. It costs $1,200, but if you let Ben know you heard about this on the podcast, you get it at no cost and still save monthly versus what you are paying to process today. For more, send Ben an email, benbrown@journeybizsolutions.com. It's an easy process. He'll get back to you right away to help you get started.
So now we go to Chris Landry on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline.
All right, Chris, thanks so much for being with me. I really appreciate you taking some time here on this Wednesday night. Let me start with this. We're going to get to some NFL stuff in just a minute. I know you you know the college game as well as anyone I know. What was your reaction to what happened at Ole Miss with Hugh Freeze? And kind of how do you – just your gut feeling, initial response to how do you think it impacts this particular team going into 2017?
Well, it's heartbreaking to see that happen. I've known you fairly well from a professional standpoint, football standpoint. To see it come down that way was very disheartening, very, very unfortunate for Ole Miss, the conference, and college football. Very disappointed, certainly. I would not have thought that the salacious nature of what happened was coming down the pike. I did think, as it always seemingly does, head coaches' heads usually roll at some point due to NCAA situations. And I think I've always felt anybody was very naive if they thought things were happening there that he knew nothing about. That's very, very unusual. So I was not shocked. I the timing of it, I think it was coming, but the timing of it and the salacious nature was a little bit surprising and certainly very, very disheartening.
Let's just assume for the sake of assumptions that there is no second-year bowl ban. That's an SEC West job. Hugh Freeze made $4.8 million-ish a year. You know lots of coaches. You know agents. You have a kind of a feel for where jobs slot and who might kind of fit into those slots. Without asking you to be specific, unless you just want to be, how attractive would that job be end of November, assuming that Ole Miss decides to make a change and the NCAA penalty is not just catastrophic?
Well, I think in a general sense, the Ole Miss job, an SEC West job, while very difficult considering the other contestants in the West, it's still a very good job. You've mentioned what they're willing to pay or have been willing to pay. It's a very good job. Now, what makes it a real challenge in my view is who's going to be making that call and how comfortable do any candidates feel about the people that are running the university, because there's going to be a major image problem that you can quickly get out from under. But, you know, I think that obviously the leverage is going to be with the candidates. And so they're going to want some extra security in terms of years and buyouts that are going to be in the coach's favor, and it should be. And there's going to be, should be, and will be, I think, with certain candidates that would be attractive, would want to have maybe a sense of kind of cleaning house and doing things a different way. And so, you know, I think that if you consider all that, it's still a very good job. But you hit on the key thing. This is on the positive end if, you know, it doesn't turn out really that bad from an NCAA hit standpoint. My feeling is that it's going to be significant enough to where there's going to have to be a lot of patience and a lot of understanding, and the coach is going to have that built into his contract, because I think it could have a huge effect. For example, you know, if you have a USC, you have an Alabama, you have a program like that that has sanctions, and we've seen it with USC, it's had an effect on them, but they're still recruiting at a very high level. They just don't have the depth. They're coming back quickly. That's not the case for Ole Miss. Ole Miss is looking up at most programs in the West and in the SEC that gets better talent. We've seen Hugh Freeze do a really good job of getting that type of talent. That has been the exception, not the rule at Ole Miss. So you're dealing with a program that is not typically the place where you get the best talent, and now you're going to throw this on top of it, and that's going to only make the job more difficult to sell the program up against the Auburns, the Alabamas, the LSUs, you know, the Floridas, the Georgias, the Tennessees. You know the rules. So I think that that's where the challenge is going to be forever gets it. I think it needs to be somebody that they can start fresh, kind of build, have patience, and build the program from the bottom up, a good foundation, and it's going to have to be a coach that can coach up. Meaning you've got to be able to really get the most out of your talent. So that doesn't mean a Les Miles type of guy that you know, coaches to the level that he has. It needs to be somebody that can coach up. Now, what made Hugh so effective was that he had some ability offensively to coach up. He's been able to beat an Alabama a couple of 2 years in a row where, you know, quite frankly, Alabama still had more overall talent. But he was able to scheme and find ways to be successful with less, and then he was able to, on top of that, recruit very well, and that's why they had such good success and why, obviously, this is such a dark time for the Reps.
Are there any names that come to mind when you that fit that description?
Yeah. You know, to me, if it were me, and I think that they would, if I were doing it, and I've talked to a couple of Ole Miss people, and nobody that I don't know who's going to make this call in the end. I don't know who's still going to be there. That's the other part of this, and you know, you're very, very clued into this. But you know, I have a hard time believing that the people in the upper administration of the university are going to be the ones making this call, and so I don't know. A lot of this has to play out, but let's just play this game that, all right, you're going to go and you're going to start fresh. If it were me, I would look hard at a lot of people, but a guy that really jumps out me as a really good fit would be Frank Wilson at Texas San Antonio. He's obviously got a lot of SEC background, a great recruiter, and when I say great, you know, that is overused, it's overstated, it's exaggerated. It is not a big enough compliment for what this guy does. I said it for, you know, when you're at LSU, when you're at Tennessee, the places that he's been, recruiting there is one thing, you know, but to go to Texas and San Antonio and to recruit and get in on kids and close on some kids that the big boys are getting, that's impressive, and what he's done over there to turn that around is been extremely impressive. Not only a good recruiter, but a really good organizer, top-notch guy from New Orleans, so has a lot of background in some key fertile recruiting areas.
Has coached at Ole Miss before.
So knows the program. I mean, all those things are really, really important, and I think would be a real positive for Ole Miss, and I don't – I hope people take this the right way. I think as somebody for the face of the program too, I think he'd be a good fit. There are others that would be good, but to me, good young guy that you can grow with would make a whole lot of sense. Somebody's going to jump on him, and in a couple of years, if you're talking about stock going up, his stock's going to be high, a lot higher in a couple of years than he is now. So to me, it would make a whole lot of sense.
Another name that pops up some, and then we're going to move to the NFL, I promise. Neil Brown at Troy, his name comes up, a former Kentucky assistant, has obviously had some success at Troy, not just as it pertains to the Ole Miss job, but just in general, because let's face it, some SEC jobs are going to open up this year in all probability. Is he a guy that you see as an SEC head coach down the road?
Yeah, I think he'd be a good fit, and I think he'd be a really good candidate for Ole Miss. Talking about coaching up, offensive style, creating mismatches, he would certainly fit that bill. You know, recruiting, he's a good recruiter. Wouldn't put him kind of in Frank's category there, but, you know, I think he'd be an outstanding fit and has some of the offensive ingenuity that he brought to the job. So, absolutely makes some sense and would be a real, real good candidate and someone I'd look really closely at if I were the Ole Miss administration.
Okay, let's switch to the NFL because that's where I told you we were going to go here. I'll stay on an Ole Miss-related topic for a minute. The New York Giants, two things. One, they've been really pleased with Evan Engram so far in camp. Those of us who covered Evan were not surprised. The other thing is that there's been some talk about kind of during camp putting a pitch count on Eli Manning a little bit, making sure that that arm is fresh going into the season. He's not getting any younger. When you evaluate Eli as a quarterback today, strengths, weaknesses, how much does he have left in the tank? And if you're the Giants, is this the right move to kind of start putting him on a pitch count and saying, hey, you know, he's not the quarterback that he was physically 5 years ago?
Well, I think Eli always has been a top-notch competitor, a top-notch preparer. So he's knows where to go with the football. When he has had protection, he's been outstanding. When he's had weapons and enough time to be able to go through his progressions, he's been very good. When, and this is no secret, and you can throw in other quarterbacks, you know, Phillip Rivers is another one, that when the protection's not good, they start forcing the ball, like any quarterback in a passing league when you're trying to come from behind. Mistakes are made because they're forcing it. They're trying to force things that are not there instead of doing the prudent thing with the football because they need to try to make something happen. I think that continues to be the case with Eli. When you are dealing with what I would call decent to slightly above average physical skills, which Eli had coming into the league, And as he's getting older, you don't get faster, you don't get stronger. In most cases, that would be the case. And with him, to where I still think he is very capable. You know, you get this all the time. Well, he manages things, and well, he won two Super Bowls, but no, there's no but. I mean, they don't win those two Super Bowls without him. Now, was he the guy that just making play after play? No, it was good defense, good offensive line, but no. Big-time throws and big-time moments is something that he's proven he can do at an extremely high level. He can continue to do that and will do that with the weapons they have if the protection holds up. It's still the biggest concern that I have for them offensively. Left tackle is a problem. Eric Flowers is really not an ideal left tackle. They drafted him to be that. So that is a concern. I think that the best thing to do, and you have to do this, and Ben McAdoo knows and Eli knows, the best thing to do is to kind of get your body prepared. We're having this problem as we're in the early part of camp. Due to the CBA rules, you can't do a lot in the off season to prepare your body for the physical contact, but there's going to be physical contact. So how do you've got to ease into it. So I think pitch count is smart. I think they've got a lot of weapons. I think Evan Engram is going to be a huge factor. And I think they dodged the bullet today. With the Sterling Shepard had an ankle injury, and there was concern that it was serious. It's a low ankle sprain, but you know he is part of what's going to make this passing game dynamic, and that they'll have three or four weapons. Reduce that by one, and it makes it difficult. I think the Giants could be a really surprise team, and let's watch for them in the NFC East to be a real factor.
Thanks to Chris for his time. Again, full interview on the Beer Garden later today where you can find more from Chris Landry. In the meantime, I'll tell you about MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. MasterCuts, full-service lawn maintenance and landscape company serving Oxford, Tupelo, and surrounding areas. Also, North Mississippi for all of North Mississippi for Skeeter Beaters, their sister company that takes care of mosquito spray in your yard or your area if you're hosting an event, whatever is going on, no job too large or small for MasterCut. Services also include landscape design, installation, landscape lighting, irrigation, maintenance, and turf. Even do holiday lighting during the holiday season. So for a free quote, call them 662-607-7773, mastercutslawn.com. Mention the podcast, First Cut on them when you sign an annual contract.
Oh, it's already a fun day on Twitter. The podcast also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys, more than 60 years of combined experience, more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Superlawyers only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state, so that should tell you something about Robert and the people at Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford at 662-281-8800. The podcast also brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. 7 South, owned and operated by Kyle and Jordan Thornton. They're both Ole Miss alums, avid fans. 7 South is equipped with the largest staff in the Grove that can service most any of your tailgating needs. They offer SEC-only packages, full-season packages, rental packages, and more. Here's what you need to know. They pretty much sell out every game. So visit their site today. Secure a spot. If you give 7 South a try for one season, you'll never tailgate without them again. The site is 7southtailgating.com, and you can reach them at 662-321-1682.
A little bit of news this morning. Maybe there's be a more of a diagnosis by the time many of you listen to the podcast, but Ryan Tannehill, the Dolphins quarterback, goes down with a non-contact injury this morning, Neil.
Well, that's not good. Knee?
Injury took place on a scramble toward the sideline, and Tannehill remained down on the field for about 2 minutes before two trainers escorted him back to the facility. He was limping, but the extent of the injury is unclear. The Dolphins shifted veteran quarterback backup Matt Moore into the first-string offense for the rest of the day. They also have former practice squad player Brandon Doty and David Fells on their roster. So, that's all I got. He was fully recovered and wearing a brace after a season-ending sprain in his left knee last season. So, all I got on Tannehill, but there as we move on with the podcast.
That'd be the end for the Dolphins.
Before it even started.
Before it starts. Like the Vikings last year when Bridgewater went down.
I mean, the Patriots might have a chance in division now. They've won that 15 years in a row.
16. One of the questions, I don't want to give away Beer Garden stuff, because Beer Garden, if you like football, if you like the NFL, you should listen to the Beer Garden, because you get idiot me talking very little and Chris Landry talking a lot. Mm-hmm. I asked him, Patriots or the field? His answer is interesting.
Okay. Good tease there.
Patriots or the field? For most people, it's the field. Give me 31 teams and you get one team? His answer was complex, but it was interesting. Dude knows football, man.
Yeah. Again, subscribe. Appreciate it. Oxford Crystal Beer Garden up later today.
Like, I always wonder with a guy like him, like on a Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
What's his day like? Because he's a normal guy. I mean, he has a life. But I think he sees the game completely differently than, like, you and I can dissect it quickly. And understands exactly what he saw.
Well, yeah, because he knows what he's looking for.
Yeah.
The base knowledge is so great that it doesn't take as complex of a view to understand what he's looking for.
Yeah. Like, I'd like to see a game from his eyes one time. Just to
what
see.
He's calculating.
Yeah.
Don't think it's the same thing as what you're calculating?
Totally different.
Yeah.
And I consider myself watching football to be moderately intelligent. I mean, I kind of know what I'm looking at.
We'll have some coverage. I've got a story basically done. I just need to put in the admin from some of the players and coaches and different things yesterday. Before I move on to a couple of the topics, any overarching thought just from talking to players? Anything that stuck out in your mind yesterday?
No.
It's a bit of a sterile environment for that, frankly. But
it's really sterile. Not really. They're tired of talking about the NCAA, even though they really haven't talked about it much.
They get a really nice reprieve because they get to put pads on and just play football.
Yeah.
The kids.
They're excited to go play football.
Jordan Wilkins, incredibly relieved for his year to be over. He's just had.
The other thing that's interesting is when you parse the answers a little,
for the current players, a change at head coach is not a big deal. I mean, the only person it's probably a big deal for in terms of football, Shea, Jordan Taimu.
And less of a deal than it would have been 6 months ago.
Yeah, and the fact that they've already been through the spring with Longo, and now just you just eliminate one person from the communication.
Longo just running this thing now.
Yeah, I mean, I would suspect that Phil Longo and Shea Patterson know each other pretty damn well by now.
Yeah.
Have a pretty decent idea. What could probably finish the other sentence by now.
Yeah.
So I don't know. People have nice things to say about Matt Luke. You can tell some of the defensive guys and stuff don't really know him, which is understandable.
Hadn't been in a room with him.
It's not a judgment. Just don't really know him. Yeah, he seems like a good dude. I kind of hear that kind of thing, you know.
He's been energetic. He's loud.
He's been great.
All right.
You'll hear the interview with Jack Bicknell. I mean, he just now kind of learning names. I mean, he'd never met Matt Luke before this thing started.
Yeah.
Didn't know anything about it. This was a whirlwind for him.
And here he is,
and just kind of going. Everybody's a number right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, you'll hear it in a minute. He talks about, I asked him, you know, can you be a resource? Yeah, you know, to a degree, I can. He talked about how when he was at Louisiana Tech, his first head coaching job, he made some mistakes. I was like, what? You'll hear it in a minute, but it's the stuff that – see, I think this is where Matt's got a chance to do well. I'm not picking on his predecessor when I say this. It's going to come across like I am. I think Matt is one of these people who genuinely reaches out to people and listens. I think he has a bigger coaching tree than Hugh Freeze has. I think there's more people he can reach out to, listen, get advice. I thought his answer to that question yesterday was not only thoughtful, I thought it was genuine. Sometimes with coaches, not referring to anyone in particular, but answers to those kinds of questions are disingenuous. It's bullshit.
No, I think he really did. He listened to former Cutcliffe, McIntyre, and then goes, okay, now I've got to be myself and put my spin on it. But these are the principles, though.
Yeah, Barry Odom talked to him about it. Yeah, you know, here's some things that I experienced. This is the advice I would give you. But, hey, be yourself. Phil Fulmer told him that. You know, you can't be someone you're not. Be who you are, whatever you are. It's like the whole thing about he's an emotional guy, Matt is.
Be emotional.
So if you try to not be emotional,
it's worse.
You're going to be something you're not. Jack Bicknell basically talked about how he kind of jumped kids, you know, and that's not really him. And he realized that doesn't work. Jumping a kid out in front of his teammates is not effective. Bring him into the room, just you and him, and have a conversation. The point gets across. You don't embarrass the kid. And I'm trying to remember who said this. I want to say Joe Madden, but I don't think it's Joe Madden. I'm trying to remember who it was. A Major League Baseball manager was talking about what he's learned. It might be the guy with the Rockies, Bud Black. He was talking about how what's most important with players is that you get to know them as people. And they know that you care about them as individuals, as people, not as athletes, not as a football player, a basketball player, a baseball player, whatever. And then when you get on them on the field about something, they take that better because they know that you're coming from a place where you care. And I think some coaches don't do that. You hear stories after the fact from players about, that guy never talked to me. I got hurt, and I didn't exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Can't be that way. Ain't Matt's going to do okay. Then there's these people out there that I'm jumping around. There's people out there that are trying to either A, give Matt the job right now, or B, insist that Matt has no shot at the job right now, and you're both wrong. And you can't do this week by week, day by day. You've got to wait and let there be a body of work for a while. And in this case, see how they handle adversity. There was a Theo Epstein quote that I saw yesterday. The single quality he looks for the most in players, how do they handle adversity? This team's going to get adversity. Matt Luke is going to have a team that is going to run into some adversity. How do they respond to it? Just wait a while on the judgment thing. You're not hiring a coach until December anyway. So just chill on that.
Mm-hmm. A couple things before we go into Bicknell in a second. Texas making news for a variety of reasons yesterday.
Yeah.
They unveiled, we'd already seen them, but players and all talking about these $10,000 lockers that they put out yesterday. There are 43-inch televisions in place of the nameplates.
Yeah.
You lose to Kansas, you get nice things now.
Ooh, it's a zinger.
Program that's always kind of easy to hate, becoming easier to hate by the minute. Tom Herman, too gimmicky for my taste. I'm not a big fan. Have a hard time kind of digesting a lot of Tom Herman. Seems to be a good football coach, but he just doesn't mix well with me. But yesterday, we've all talked about access. We've all talked about practice access. So the Texas communications team sends out this to media. I'll just read it verbatim if I can. I have it, but for some reason the bottom won't go down. Here we go. Says, going forward, our policy for media attending post-practice availabilities will be that social media posts will not be permitted during those sessions. Any social media entry should come after the conclusion of all post-practice media interviews have concluded. Our hope is you would take time to review your posts and re-listen to the questions and answers in an effort to increase accuracy and ensure, spelled incorrectly, the necessary context of your social media reports. We hope that it will not only allow everyone more time to craft those commentaries and reports, but also allow necessary time to absorb full context. It also will be beneficial in providing full attention for follow-up questions or the next line of questioning during actual interviews. Thank you in advance for hearing this new policy. Also, to follow up on a concern that came up during today's post-practice availability, players, please do not stand behind Coach Herman or the other players during the availabilities. The ropes are in place as a guide to avoid that and to allow the subject to address the group. To assist with your recording devices, we will add a table for you to place those on going forward. A couple things. One, Texas is acting like the playground teacher with a bunch of 11-year-olds.
Yeah.
And being really stupid here.
It's a bad look on their part to talk about, hey, you guys don't need to tweet during the press conferences. That's a really stupid look.
Dude breaks his leg. We don't need more context. That's fine.
Right.
The two things, however, that I
What happened that instigate that got I, that going? No idea. Okay.
I noticed it because Anwar Richardson was writing about it a lot yesterday. That's how it kind of came to my attention. So he was pissed. And I get being pissed, I do. But when you break it down a little more, I do have two other thoughts. One, there isn't much more obnoxious than the reporters who immediately try to jump to Twitter to get something out first when everybody's around a room and they almost knock you over trying to get back to computers or phones to put it out 3 seconds before someone else. And two, I'm still waiting on Twitter. Not from a link back standpoint, but from a just putting information out to make me a dollar, to provide me a click, or to do anything other than potentially make my head swell because my follower count went up. So, in some ways, the media is completely missing the forest for the trees here.
In some ways.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, yeah. In most ways.
Yeah.
Because being Twitter famous is doing nothing for you. It's doing nothing for your employer. It's literally nothing more from you to beat your chest about some likes and some retweets. So that's where the crazy hostility comes in. You can look at Texas and go, look, y'all are idiots. This is stupid. We think it's ridiculous. However, in saying that, in some ways, they're helping Texas do their job more effectively and efficiently for their publication.
Yeah, you you stole most of my thunder. I am always amazed, and I do it too. Why the hell do I tweet everything? Why do I compete with me? It's already hard enough. I'm already competing against enough people.
And you're competing, or not competing, but you're putting on information to a segment of the internet that has a lifespan of 7 minutes, and the percentage of even your followers that are online to see that is so small. It is an emphasis on a subset that is incredibly minuscule compared to every other way you could distribute that information.
You know the one thing that bugs me that we all do? I'm making fun of media here, us included. Okay. During games, when the overwhelming majority of the people that follow us are watching said game because they're
TV or at it.
Yeah. We're tweeting, not only tweeting about it, but there are people going, Jones grabs, gets 4 yards on 3rd and 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, no crap, pal. We just saw it. It's on TV. It's on radio, or it's live. Or you're streaming it on your freaking device. I mean, you almost certainly are communicating, duh. The people that give context on Twitter, okay. But the people that are like, hey, it's 1st and 7. From the 7. Okay, 1st and goal from the 7.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of right there. I'm looking right at it. We all do that. Drives me nuts. Alabama scores. It's now 24-17. I know. I hate those tweets. The press conference tweet, and I'm guilty of this. I will not do it again. I'm not live tweeting another press conference because I'm giving material away without context.
Now, say you have to re-listen to the interview to have context is dumb as hell. But
it is.
What's next, though?
Oh, the schools are eventually going to here's what's going to happen. They're going to eventually shut out all media and try to do an in-house thing. At which point the public initially will go, yeah, screw the media.
And then?
And then about, oh, it won't take long. Wait, what? I've been watching TexasLonghorns.com. I had no idea we had these problems. When did so-and-so get kicked off the team? How'd that happen? They'll overcorrect. And then they'll correct the overcorrection. That's what's coming.
What's the don't stand behind? Is it because he's got a banner with an ad back there?
Probably.
Is that your guess?
Or he doesn't like people standing behind him holding a recorder in front of his face. It's disconcerting. You're a big boy. You took the job at Texas.
And worse. Tweet on that actually was more humorous than his rant on the other. He had a dog laying in someone's lap looking back at the camera and says, Texas media members are told they can't stand behind Tom Herman. Maybe we should just sit with our legs crossed and gaze in adoration. So he's a little fired up.
I don't blame him. You're the head coach at Texas. When you take the damn job, you know there's going to be media. If you don't like media, don't take the job at Texas. Did anyone make him take the damn job at Texas? Did someone kidnap Tom Herman from his home in Houston and at gunpoint say, hey, Tom, UT or else, baby? I'm guessing no.
Everything secondary to his team appears to be some type of issue or gimmick constantly.
I mean,
he's focused on everything but the team.
I'm totally effing serious here. If you don't want the attention and you, because I love this one. I love this one from football coaches. I just want to coach football. Okay.
Then just coach football.
Holler at Stephen F. Austin. I bet they'll hire you. And the cat at the Nacogdoches Chronicle, he'll run out there once a week and say, hey, coach, how's your team looking? You can give him an answer. How do you feel about your big game coming up against Nichols? You going to be able to stop that quarterback?
And you give that answer, and he'll leave because he makes about $16,000 a year over there at the Chronicle. And then you won't have to deal with him, and then you'll play the big game on Saturday in front of 1,300 people. And when the game's over, that same guy will come, "Coach, congratulations on the big win. How'd you think your team did?" And you can tell him whatever the hell you want to tell him, and he's going to run it in big block quotes, and that'll be the story in the Nacogdoches Chronicle on Saturday. And guess what? You got to coach football because it's the same damn game, 100 yards, 10-yard end zones, the 52 yards wide. Is that? I mean, it's the same damn field. You got to coach football, and you didn't have to deal with the damn media. Now, you're not going to get paid as much, and you're not going to get to be a superstar, but you got to coach football. That's all I really want to do is just coach football. Well, go for it, man. Go get a job at the local junior high and coach football.
Teach tackling.
Teach it. You can get down in the dirt and X and O it, and by God, win the Jones County Middle School Championship for the 13th straight season.
You got something against Laurel?
Is that where Laurel is? No, I'm all for it. I love Laurel. If you're out there in Laurel, I think you're great. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It says, I hate that crap. No, when you take the job at Texas, you know going in, there's going to be media attention. Hell, they have their own network. Failing network, but network nonetheless. You know going in, there's going to be media at your practice. Shut up. I hate that crap. And then the SIDs are like, yeah, man, coach said, you know, shut up. Where's the SID that goes, hey, Tom, you knew when you took this gig, right, that there was like all these papers and publications and stuff that were going to have personnel here. Grow up.
Is it because Tom would just fire him and bring in some
probably
other dude?
He'll bring in some slap to walk in and go, hey, coach said you guys have coach said. Holy hell, man. When you take a big-time gig.
I think Herman's SID calls him coach.
Oh, I guarantee you his SID calls him coach. Hell, his wife probably calls him coach. She wouldn't be the only one.
You don't get called journalist number three around town, around the house?
Hell no.
Oh, have a daiquiri, Neil.
I need a daiquiri. Ben, where's my daiquiri?
Podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, Chattanooga. 30s old this year, the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis, so you're getting local underwriting that understands your market. You're also the leader in condo financing in Oxford. Ask Jason about the float-down option. It allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. You can contact him at 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
You know, you're the one that walked in here in a pissy mood. You sat down and you said, quote, I'm in a pissy mood. Really, I'm not really sure why. And yeah. And now I'm the one. It rubbed off on me, and you seem to be cheering up as the day goes on. The podcast brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used Comer for AC repair. You can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, and their work is second to none. Comer is an American Standard dealer, but they work on any make or model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, comerheatingandair.com, or check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast. You get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane, 662-832-8749. Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account anywhere. It's called Kasasa. And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. The podcast also brought to you by Michael Oswalt. He's a realtor, specializes in recreational and timberland tracts across the state of Mississippi. Michael works with Tom Smith Land and Homes. It's by far the largest broker of land in Mississippi. Look him up on his site. It's gotland.com, got-land.com. You can read his recent testimonials, check out his track record and more. But know this, the land market is very hot right now. If you're on the fence about selling your land, your hunting club share, or your home with acreage, now's the time. Give Michael a call today. He's ready to meet with you, explain the process. If he can't earn your business in that meeting, he doesn't deserve it. Give his cell a call, 662-719-3967. Visit his Facebook page or send him an email, michael@tomsmithland.com.
Now, Jack Bicknell Jr., Ole Miss offensive line coach on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline.
I guess I'm just doing the same story a thousand other people have done. But
right.
How did you kind of – I know you knew Jacob.
Yeah.
Was that kind of the end a little bit on getting your name in the hat?
Yeah, it was. I mean, of course, nobody's thinking something might open this time of year. So I heard what happened and didn't really give it much of a thought for whatever reason. And then I saw where they elevated Matt, you know, and found out he was the O-line coach. So I said, well, that might be an opportunity then. And so I...
Where were you at the time? You were in New Hampshire?
Yeah, I was in New Hampshire. My dad had actually... he had been sick the past year. I've been taking care of him. He's better now, but...
Where in New Hampshire?
Meredith, New Hampshire.
Okay.
And so... but anyway, so I heard about it, and then found out that Jacob was here, called him. He recommended me, of course, to Matt, and Matt called me, and then one thing led to the other.
I was going to say, it had to be kind of a whirlwind a little bit, right?
Well, big time. I mean, I guess it was last Thursday that, you know, I was talking to those guys, and they said, well, come down Friday, and then they said, you know, you might want to pack just in case you get the job. We're ready to roll, you know. We don't want to necessarily have you go back. So sort of met my wife at Dunkin' Donuts. She bought me some clothes. I came down here, and the rest is history, man.
Did you kind of, I mean, obviously they needed someone quickly and that kind of thing, but did you feel like there was kind of a vibe a little bit? I mean, that you jived a little bit with them?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, once I got down here, I've been saying, I feel like I've known Matt for 10 years, you know. I think he's just that type of person. You can clearly see that he is a very humble guy, very caring guy, and you can see that he has respect of everybody around here, you know. And so, and he was very, very good to me, and so I just couldn't be more thrilled. I'm excited.
How much can you help a guy like that thrown into the position he's in? Because, I mean, you did do the head coaching thing for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, you've been through all the administrative stuff.
Right.
Is that something that – is that overplayed, or can you actually kind of help a little bit at times?
I think you can. I mean, I think it's maybe just talking to somebody that's been through it. You know, there's no manual that says, hey, this is how you be a head coach. And there's no set situation that just comes up, you know, all the time. I mean, so it's – and I think it might be just as far as talking to somebody or giving them my experience. I know I made a bunch of mistakes my first 2 years. I know I did. You know, just
like
maybe,
what? Like what, not just specifically, maybe, but just what?
Maybe not treating the players. You know, maybe being too overboard. Maybe yelling at somebody in front of the team. You know, things of that nature, where I regretted it. You know, maybe I could have just brought them into the office, sat them down, and talked to them, and made a lot easier. You know. I can think of a few instances, a couple during games. Of course, everybody's hyped up. So I had to learn that, you know what, don't even mess with it on the sidelines of games, because everybody's emotionally sober. You know what I mean? You're just better off just...
Wait till it's over.
You're always better off bringing somebody in your office and just sitting down and talking to them. You know, and I even had at some point, I'm not raising my voice other than, you know, to encourage somebody or whatever, but... You know, even people in the office or whatever. You know what I mean? What you realize is that you used to say something to somebody and they could either care less about it or not. But when you're the head coach, everybody cares what you say. You know, and everybody's looking to you for leadership. And just things like that. And then managing your emotions sometimes. You know, you're in a good mood and all of a sudden this guy's failing out of this and this person did this. And You know, it just, you have to really, you know, be able to manage that, manage your emotions, because, again, everybody's looking for you to be a leader.
Are you still kind of learning people's names?
Yeah, absolutely.
Offensive line and all
that
stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting pretty good now, but it's first goal was to learn the scheme, because I got to be ready to coach it. Second goal was...
Was it remotely familiar to you?
Yes, it was. Yeah, I mean, it you know, it's, I think if I was just strictly an NFL coach my whole life, probably would be less familiar and a lot harder.
Okay.
We actually did this at the Dolphins, not this offense, but similar. It was basically Chip Kelly's run offense from Oregon, you know, and Bill Lazor came over, so he was our coordinator. So we did this run game, a little bit different, but certainly not so foreign. And then, you know, a lot of it is just, hey, a drive block's a drive block, a pass set's a pass set. You know, I mean, there's a bunch of stuff that I've been doing for 31 years.
It's still football, yeah.
Yeah, it's not like I have to have somebody describe that to me.
Right.
So it's just kind of the nuances. It's terminology, number one. You know, I'm still trying to figure out. I still have to say in my mind, okay, this play is inside zone to the left. That play is, you know, power to the right. But I'm getting better. But
in some ways, that kind of will help you relate to these players too, right? Because I mean, it's still somewhat new to them.
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's and I'm gonna about ready when we go meet. I'm gonna say, look, guys, this is you know, we're gonna have to work through this a little bit. I mean, it's a unique situation, but that's what practice is all about. And I feel like I've actually gotten it better than what I originally thought I would.
From a talent standpoint, have you had a chance to evaluate?
Not as
it much.
I just started doing that in the last 24 hours, where I started saying, okay, 79 is hit, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
don't even quiz me on it right now.
Yeah.
Because I'd have to, But I mean, I started doing that more because I started getting the scheme down. So then I said, all right, let me see what these guys are doing more. And again, I'm early stages of that, but I can recognize good players. And I can recognize good-looking players when they.
Yeah.
I just met them a half hour ago, and there's some really good-looking guys in there.
Last thing, just I would assume that you, a couple weeks ago, thought you were going to take the season off.
Yeah,
just fun to be back on a football field.
Hard to even describe how great it is. How grateful, how much you miss it. You know, if it's taken away from you, and so that part of it is just. Couldn't be more excited. You know, just even crazy things like I just sat up in the team meeting room, like, this is awesome, part of a team again. You know, slipping on a pullover that means something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
instead of some Nike thing I went down to the store to buy or something, you know what I mean? Which I had to buy some of them.
Yeah.
Because every time I get fired, I just throw it all out.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, crap, now I don't even have a daggone, you know what I mean, golf shirt.
Yeah.
So, but it means a great deal. And, just you miss the competitiveness of, you know what, we're going to give a bunch of guys, go see if we can beat Alabama and Auburn and all those people, you know. And that's the fun part of it.
Thank you. Appreciate your time.
Very good. Great to meet with you.
Nice to meet you.
Thanks, Jack, for joining Neil yesterday. We will have some more stuff at rebelgrove.com. Again, got a story coming up soon, probably by the time that most of you guys listen to this, up on the site. Practice access today. Neil will get some photos. We'll get those to you at some point in the day, into the night. But rebelgrove.com is where that will be at that time. The next media availability is either Monday or Tuesday after today.
I'm not sure, one or the other. I can't remember which.
But either way, Tom Brady turned 40 today, Neil.
Yeah, he looks like me.
Over under 3 years.
Under.
He'll be done by in 3 years?
Yeah.
Okay.
But you can't play quarterback at 43 in the NFL. You just can't do it.
I'd have been really tempted to hang it up after this last one.
Yeah.
I know it's what he knows, and that's why he's not. I mean, I get it.
The fear of the unknown. You're the best. You want a ring. Walk away. Go chase Giselle around. I can't imagine that you need money.
Well, he's not even the breadwinner.
But he could write a book, and his book would actually sell.
Speaking tour.
Yeah.
Thousands of dollars.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
It's true. So, all right, Beer Garden with Chris Landry. Beer Garden, John Hamm at some point as well. Is that correct?
Taping today. It'll be up tomorrow.
It'll be NBA-centric. I'm not the only one that likes NBA. I get some positive feedback on the NBA ones.
Do you?
Yeah. A lot of people say that was cool.
He's impressive.
He's really good, and there is a lot going on in the NBA right now. Normally, August is like dead, kind of like just nothing more than people waiting for the schedule to drop. This year, there's a lot of stuff with Carmelo. There's the stuff with Kyrie Irving. LeBron James in the news again. So, a lot there.
So, we had the story yesterday about the snake. We didn't get to the story yesterday about the Tennessee bride who pointed the gun at the groom, pulling the gun out of her wedding dress.
That's bizarre.
You wonder why we did the ceremony if we were going to get to this point an hour or two later.
Well, 'cause something tells me that if she had the gun underneath the gown, she either was premeditated or she knew it was a possibility she was going to need the gun.
Packing during the ceremony?
Packing heat during the ceremony.
What led to I don't know what the kerfuffle was that led to kerfuffle. To the issue. Today's story, though.
Yes.
In crazy stories. A Texas man was wounded after he fired a gun at an armadillo in his yard, and the bullet ricocheted back and hit him in the face, the county sheriff said. Cass County Sheriff Larry Rowe said the man, who was not identified, went outside his home in Marietta, Texas at around 3 a.m. There's so much here. He spotted the armadillo on his property and opened fire. His wife was in the house. He went outside and took his .38 revolver and shot three times at the armadillo. The animal's hard shell deflected at least one of the three bullets, but then struck the man in the jaw. The man was airlifted to a nearby hospital where his jaw was wired shut, according to Rowe. The status of the animal is unknown. We did not find the armadillo.
The status of the animal is unknown. What the hell are you shooting it at 3 a.m. for? Just go back to bed. What's it doing that's bothering you at 3 a.m.?
Because they're not loud creatures.
I mean, what is it doing?
Maybe he meant like messing up his garden or something. So he thought at night is when he had to go find, like.
You think he stayed up waiting? Tonight's the night, Teresa.
He set an alarm at 2:55.
I'm gonna get that Dylan tonight.
It's not Charlene.
Charlene. Right.
Charlene.
He sat out there. He said, sipping his whiskey. He said, "I'm gonna get it." And there it is. There it is. Can you imagine that moment when the bullet ricochets back and goes through your jaw, and the thought that has to go through your mind at that point, this wasn't a good idea?
I am an idiot. I did pick that story over instead of the one in Arkansas with the donkey yesterday, which made it to our message board, which I won't discuss here. Did you not see that?
No.
Did you not?
No.
A man was caught on camera on two different occasions.
He ordered out for donkey?
With a neighbor's donkey. Not even his own donkey. I think it was donkey. It was some animal along those
lines. He's an ass man.
It's good. See, that's good. I'm hold on, I want to get the specifics of this actually.
Please.
You know you'll all wait on this, so hold on.
Oh God.
You okay?
Yeah, it's gonna be one of those days.
I think it was in Arkansas. I mean, that was just a good guess, but I'm pretty sure. Yeah, here we go. I'm pulling from Fox News or Yahoo or somewhere. I guess they're all the same. All right. An Arkansas man is behind bars after allegedly trespassing onto his neighbor's property in order to sexually assault the couple's donkeys. That was the lead of this story. Police in Siloam Springs, I don't know, arrested Everett Compton Jr., 49, on Monday. Wouldn't you love
that's
your
up
name?
There near Fayetteville.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right. After he was allegedly caught abusing a donkey owned by Emmert and Joyce Whitaker. The Whitakers had previously told police they had problems with people harassing their animals for the past 3 years. When no trespassing signs didn't work, the couple set up a camera to photograph intruders. Emmert Whitaker told them he photographed a man on his property on the mornings of May 27th and June 4th. The photos, which were turned over to police, showed a man placing a bag over the donkey's head and then, according to ArkansasMatters.com, the Whitakers also photographed the same man with the donkeys on July 5th and 6th. Trying to go down to the end. Let's see. Compton allegedly reported, responded, let's see, Compton allegedly responded by saying that marijuana makes him do sick things. He was arrested Monday when he's charged with counts of bestiality, 4 counts of criminal trespassing, and 4 counts of misdemeanor cruelty to animals. Jail records show he remains in the Benton County Jail on $5,000 of bond. And he said that if he would just not be arrested, he promised to get some help.
Can you imagine that conversation in the jailhouse? What are you in here for? I robbed a bank. What about you? I made love to a donkey.
Yeah, even like the hardcore criminal kind of slides over on the bench. It's like, I'm like, good.
Whoa. Hey, man. You stay on your side, champ.
Trying to be careful here because I know young people listen. What was the bag for? He brought a bag to put over the donkey's head? I have so many questions, and I don't want any of the answers.
I have lots of questions.
All right.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe he did. He didn't want to.
I don't know. All right.
He didn't want to.
We're going to close the podcast there. I don't know how we move on from there. There is no segue. So we'll talk to you tomorrow again. Thanks to Chris Landry. Thanks to Jack McNeil. Check out the Beer Gardens coverage at herbalgrove.com. Talk again soon.